So, in my talk, I will kind of tell you about two different ways to see conformal symmetry near horizon. And we believe that this conformal symmetry may actually help to understand physics of De Sitter space in particular. It might be actually more generally interesting for understanding physics in space-time with horizons. So I will have in my talk I will have two parts. First part is based is quite old. It's based on work I have done with Ivo Sachs, and it's still some work in progress. Basically, De Sitter stuff is still in progress. And my second part, it is based on recent paper, just appeared a month ago. So, doing holography, we should be able to make at least three steps. We should choose holographic screen. So some kind of boundary where some boundary data supposed to be determined. And we have to make rules. We have to make holographic rules. So how from this boundary data we can reconstruct physics in the bulk. And last step, we should give precise prescription for the boundary theory. So the theory which lives on the boundary. And ADS-CFT does all three steps very well. This successful example of holographic theory. So in this case, boundary is time-like boundary on anti-De Sitter. And there is precise dictionary how to, make respondents from any perturbation in supergravity in the bulk to boundary conformal operator. And also, there is a precise prescription for the boundary theory that should be super young news. So, idea in this talk, well, not all spacetimes are asymptotically anti-De Sitter. And even for anti-De Sitter, it might be useful to use some other holographic screen, some other boundary. So in this talk, idea is to consider horizon as a holographic screen and see if we can get something interesting, if we can get all these steps for this kind of screen. And key observation for first part of my talk is that if you look at the near horizon region, actually generic non-extreme horizon with some non-vanishing temperature, we will find quite generally that there is a Euclidean anti-De Sitter if you look at through optical metric. So precise, meaning will be clear in the moment. So once we find anti-De Sitter, we can try to use same rules which we learned from ADS-CFT and try to formulate holographic rules near horizon. So that's the strategy. So let's look just generic spherically symmetric metric. Actually static spherically symmetric. And suppose it has non-trivial horizon, well, no, horizon with non-vanishing temperature. So G should have, so this metric function should have simple root at location of horizon. And first derivative should not vanish. So beta H is basically inverse Hawking temperature. So optical metric is related with original metric by conformal transformation. So we take this G and rescale the metric. So in optical metric, GTT component is just constant. By definition, it's minus one. So the whole metric is sum of time part and some special part, which is Euclidean. So here how it looks like. But it doesn't look very, encouraging. But if you look at near horizon limit, so if you define, so it's here Z is this definition. Near horizon relation between R, coordinate R and Z is this. And metric component is exponentially decaying. So if you do that and go to near horizon limit, so in terms of variable Z, near horizon limit is when Z goes to infinity. And this metric takes this form, and it's easy to see that it's actually asymptotically anti-de Sitter. So if Z goes to infinity, it's just this anti-de Sitter metric. So it is, in generally, it's not globally anti-de Sitter, it's just asymptotically anti-de Sitter. Anti-de Sitter radius is the same as inverse Hawking temperature. And boundary of anti-de Sitter is horizon surface in original metric. So for de Sitter space, it looks even better. Let's precise relation between coordinate Z and coordinate R. And this optical metric, in optical metric, this part is exactly anti-de Sitter. So it's globally anti-de Sitter, not just locally. We know that near anti-de Sitter, we usually have conformal symmetry. So anti-de Sitter produces conformal structure at infinity. So is it possible to see the structure in this picture? So how structure of conformal structure at infinity of anti-de Sitter kind of manifests itself in this metric, high-dimensional metric with horizon? In order to see that, we have to look at more general metric. So I have this conformal factor, and this is supposed to be anti-de Sitter metric. So G should be understood as some kind of expansion near infinity of anti-de Sitter. Sigma also has some kind of expansion. So it is static, it is actually general static non-rotational metric. And horizon is located at infinite Z. Metric which actually we have on horizon is not G, is not this G0. It is this combination of E sigma 0 and G0. So let's take this metric and look at asymptotical diffeomorphism, asymptotic symmetries which preserve this form. You'll find that there is metric is static, so let's look at static diffeomorphisms. So T component should be zero, and other components take this form. And it is exactly diffeomorphism which generates you conformal symmetry at infinity of anti-de Sitter. So if you look how this diffeo acts on metric on components of this expansion, we'll see that G0 just scales by some factor. Also sigma changes by a constant. And resulting action of this, well, on induced metric on horizon, because it's just product of E sigma and G, it doesn't change. So this conformal symmetry, it acts on metric here, on sigma here, but metric of horizon doesn't change. But effectively, to the leading order, it acts on this part. So it just rescales this factor in front of Pz part of the metric. So let's look at scalar perturbations. So take any scalar field, some mass. We can rescale this field in a certain way and like this, and assume that there is particular time dependence with frequency omega. Then the whole equation for this optical, let's call field phi, reduced to certain equation which looks as equation in anti-de Sitter, so it's equation in asymptotically anti-de Sitter. Well, for the Sitter space, if you start with the Sitter, it is exactly anti-de Sitter. But the price we pay for that, this mass factor becomes dependent on radius or on coordinate z. But when we approach horizon, so r goes to l, this function approaches some universal constant. But it is it's like a mass squared, but it is negative. So it's like a tachyonic state. So now we can apply these rules of. So it is equation field equation in anti-de Sitter space. That's asymptotic mass, and we can apply these rules of anti-de Sitter of ADS CFT correspondence in this particular case. If you can compute, so we have to make a correspondence to this field on the boundary with certain conformal operators living on d-dimensional sphere. But conformal, if you compute conformal weight, it's actually complex number. Imaginary part is product of omega, this frequency, and inverse Hawking temperature. And this probably means that this theory is not unitary. So we can make these holographic rules. So to each, basically in original metric, these two possible solutions are just in and left and right going modes near horizon. And in this holographic rule, we make a correspondence between left and right moving modes of frequency omega. And conformal operator of complex dimension living on horizon. On this d-dimensional sphere. You mean which m squared? Original mass? This one? No, it doesn't.
So the conformal weights are completely decoupled.
Yes, but it's kind of what we expect because near horizon all massive fields becomes effectively massless. And do you have more questions?
Yes.
Well, if I look at, say, Schwarzschild black hole, right? So I have this horizon, that horizon, and suppose to encode all this space, I mean, everything what happens in this corner should be encoded in these two data on past and future horizon.
I
put the entropy out there for the arbitrarily large.
Oh, you mean if it's not asymptotically, I mean, it's like that, right?
It doesn't tell you the black.
Yes.
Yeah, but far away from the black hole, you can have anything you want.
Yes.
So this theory is supposed to be holographic in the sense of having the... I mean, if you have a theory that has only really has maximum entropy, it's supposed to be area of the black hole, it's possible, right?
Oh, I see. I'm talking about entropy of black hole. So I mean, basically, I have some modes coming here, suppose, and some modes coming leaving this region, frequency omega, frequency omega. And to each mode coming this way, I make a correspondent operator also here. So this operator just describe you field theory perturbation, so it has infinite number of degrees of freedom. So it's not clear how it's related to entropy. So it's not finite dimensional. So Hilbert space, which we can have here, it's infinite dimensional.
Why does it have anything to do with the horizon?
Because I take this screen on the horizon. And this conformal symmetry appears near horizon. And
in this principle, I would be able to take an arbitrarily small black hole and have some theory that you have a right to make a flat arbitrarily large space.
Yeah, why not? Because it's actually, I mean, you can consider these surfaces as Cauchy surfaces for this region.
They're not Cauchy surfaces because the surfaces are infinitely
galactic. Right. No, but if you consider massless fields, right? Massless fields go this way or that way along geodesics, light cone geodesics. So field which comes from here, at least free field, it comes originated from here. Also field which comes this way originates from this, from here. Or vice versa. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about some simplified picture, like, say, two-dimensional space, right? So suppose it is two-dimensional space. So there is x plus, x minus. Any solution of field equation here is sum of, well, f plus x plus and f minus x minus. And you can show that actually in order to determine value of this function here, you have to know actually value of function on the horizon at three points, here, here, and there. Of course, I mean, in this case, there is no scattering. There is no this radial potential. When there is radial potential, yeah, of course, right, there is, I mean, more complicated picture. And we need probably more holographic screens, say, at infinity. But at least some information is encoded on this horizon screens. And in particular, this should be important for De Sitter, right? Which looks like that. So there is no asymptotic regions like in Minkowski space. So for these observers staying here, only asymptotic regions are past and future horizons.
That's why I asked about the black hole.
Yes. Yeah. So let's look at indeed De Sitter space. And take De Sitter invariant Green's function. And so it has 2 points. Its 2 point function has 2 points.
Speaking yes. I'm confused about. So in the De Sitter case, the group, it's
symmetry that you see here today.
Yes.
Is I think isomorphic to your informal group by the founder. But it's not the same group, if I'm understanding correctly.
No, no, it's
different isomorphic.
It's not quite the same group.
It's not even the same
group. No, it's a smaller group than De Sitter. If I start with De Sitter space, like DS, D plus 2, group of symmetries of De Sitter is larger than this group on, this conformal group on D sphere. It's larger. It's supposed to be subgroup. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It must be related, probably.
No, no, no. The subgroup
that preserves the map is just R or U1 for the perfect number. In fact, it's not a control. Well, it's not, but there must be some kind of relation, because, like you told me last time, there is a symmetry. So X plus goes to lambda X plus, and X minus goes to inverse lambda X minus, which preserves this observer. But this symmetry actually is important also here. It acts on these operators producing conformal weight. Well, it will be clear in a moment. It is shaped of T, yeah. Yes.
So it's not part of this Euclidean normal.
No, but it produces basically if I shift T by some lambda. So what I'm saying, suppose I have this operator and I act with this shift. Let's call it T. What I get here is lambda I omega O. Well, suppose it depends on lambda, this lambda. So it acts on these conform operators like that. So let's look at this De Sitter invariant Green's function, and it has two points. And take one point to horizon, another point to close to horizon. In this limit, Green's function will take some interesting form. So these modes here, these are left going modes and right going modes, and coefficient in front of this is lead, and it is this KH is like a conformal correlation function for conformal weight of operators of conformal weight H, which is related to omega. Also, These are left and left going modes. Creation function between them is proportional to this delta function, like a contact term. But there is also a prefactor here with some gammas. And after some exercise, you see that it is actually a thermal factor. It is a thermal factor. So, we define these operators, these conformal operators, by looking at asymptotic behavior of this function phi in the bulk. And correlation function between, for these operators, you can read these correlation functions from this Green's function, basically by applying this LZ type of prescription. So basically, you have asymptotic states, and you have to project this Green's function on this kind of asymptotic states, and you get this expression. Yes.
Usually people are worried about using surfaces find a feeling that somebody in the middle of the basement is just like this.
Yeah.
Is that bothering you at all? And then there's a back reaction of anything that actually is in the middle of the space, or doesn't even look like this.
Well, everything on fixed background, so I kind of don't worry about that. But I'm saying that if horizon emits some particle, becomes not the sitter, becomes like Schwarzschild the sitter.
Yeah.
I see. Well, I don't worry here, but in principle I should probably worry. Yeah. But yeah. But it still remains a horizon, right? It still remains a horizon with some different temperature. So this theory still probably should be okay with some deformation of temperature and conformal weight. Yeah. So it might be more useful more interesting to look at Kruskal coordinates. Again, this picture where so our observer is here, and there is a past horizon, future horizon. And we can define this asymptotic, well, conformal operator as in conformal operator and out conformal operator, just on null surface. Because on my previous slide, I was using time-like surface of constant z, which is. But here it's better to define it on null surface. And let's exact prescription how to project this Green's function to asymptotic state. And this looks a little bit like element of S matrix. So basically, we can define ingoing states and associative states, this conformal operator here, and outgoing, well, out states are defined on H plus, and we have conformal operators here. And this correlation function between this operator and that operator is supposed to tell us about S matrix in this. In the space-time, but at this stage it is more like an idea, and it's not. I cannot give you precise proof that it's actually S matrix, because here there must be some kind of interplay between unitary evolution and thermal behavior, and we seen that these correlation functions also have some information about thermal behavior of this theory. So here have it's end of my part one. We have questions about this. Yes. Yeah, it is just free field. So in sense here, S matrix here is trivial, I mean, for free field. You're supposed to include some kind of interaction here and do some more complicated calculation of correlation functions, which depend on interaction. So in my second part, just another.
I don't understand the philosophy.
Yes.
All that you want to do is reformulate quantum field theory and put things on background.
Yes.
There's no need to do it because that's already well defined. A lot of it's interesting because it allows us to address questions of quantum gravity. But if you have quantum gravity, the metric has to be reflected. So I see that maybe I don't quite understand what you're doing.
Well, motivation is to find a similar prescription we had for IDS-CFT correspondence, also near horizon. And it looks like you can do this in a similar way.
There's a difference between IDS-CFT correspondence, which I think allows us to address, for example, the question of how to describe a black hole. You wouldn't be able to do that because that's a different background from the one that explains your whole approach.
Well, I certainly don't have independent prescription for this conformal theory, so I cannot tell you exactly what kind of theory there should be on horizon. I'm only saying that this conformal theory should contain certain operators of conformal, a certain conformal weight, and I'm saying what kind of prescription should be between propagating mode and these conformal operators. But I'm just doing only that. So yes, two-pi function is exactly conformal. You can compute it from this. Well, this should be checked. This should be checked. For higher point functions, you should probably include interaction in the bulk. And it's more complicated. So here, another way to see conformal symmetry near horizon. It's a little bit different symmetry than it was in my first part. So let's take again a spherically symmetric metric. But here I have two-dimensional metric, and it's like metric in RT subspace. And here R is like a field on that two-dimensional metric. So spherical symmetry is fixed here. And horizon, I can define horizon as, basically by this condition. So it is a line on this two-dimensional space where gradient of R becomes null. So it is actually definition of apparent horizon. So if I look, first of all, this definition is invariant under the scaling of metric, of this two-dimensional metric. So it's first sign that there is a conformal symmetry involved here. Second, I can resolve this equation near this horizon, like this. I can choose such a coordinate that x minus equals zero is locational with horizon. So then near this curve H, I can resolve this equation like this. And so it is like asymptotic behavior near horizon. And this behavior doesn't change if I apply certain diffeomorphism. So it changes only this function lambda. And these vectors actually form Virasoro algebra if you define basis, certain basis. So just Virasoro algebra.
Do you know how this compares with the Steve Carlos that you're talking about?
Yeah, it is related. It is, yeah. Yeah, it is the same conformal symmetry, only at a little bit different angle. So he also defines certain condition at horizon, and he finds that there is Virasoro algebra related to that kind of condition. So it means that if you have horizon, we are going to have conformal symmetry near this kind of horizon, and any, say, quantum gravity or string theory which describes space-time with horizon should give us a representation with conformal symmetry. So here, well, I give you example of possible conformal symmetry near horizon. It's boundary Liouville. So region, the domain D here is two-dimensional, and it has a boundary. So it can be either disk or half plane. So it can be half plane. So my boundary is here, and Lachov theory is supposed to be near horizon. So it's like in this picture. So have a null surface which is horizon, and but I place my boundary at time-like. Well, my boundary is time-like, and it's placed at z constant. Well, all terms here more or less fixed by conformal symmetry, and z. Meaning of field Z, it can be understood as a radial coordinate of string in this optical metric. There is something which I basically put here by hand, this imaginary part for boundary interaction, but it will be important. This theory, well, that's basically how it is related to usual Liouville. In this theory, there are nice operators which produce actually normalizable states. So usually you define operators as E alpha Z, and for particular alpha, basically Q plus I omega, these are special primary operators. And already in this level, this operator looks a little bit like this propagating near horizon mode, but of course Z here is some function of on the worksheet. So this theory has nice properties. So if you look at alpha prime goes to zero limit, in this limit we have mini superspace approximation should work. And this normalizable state is represented by some wave function on of zero mode. So all oscillatory modes decouple in this limit, and we have only zero mode. So we have a condition, basically Virasoro condition for this wave power function. And this equation looks like this, and it is exactly equation which we expect to have for a field perturbation near horizon, where this radial potential is approximated by first term, basically by Rindler. In Rindler approximation, we have this exponentially growing potential. And solution to this equation is just, well, there are two solutions, one decaying, another growing. We pick up the one which decays, and it is just McDonald. So near horizon, we have horizon here at infinite minus Z, and near horizon, we have flat plane wave, ingoing, left going, left and right going plane wave. And the factor in front of, well, left going wave, is reflection factor. So if you send a particle, it gets reflected. Also, in this boundary Liouville theory, we have a boundary state. In semi-classical, it is described by exponential of boundary action. So if So we have the state, and if you can compute overlap of this state and this state, you'll find that it takes quite interesting form. So there are two terms here. S is related to boundary coupling and coupling in the bulk. But also, these terms are quite peculiar. They have this form. And if you compute absolute value for this term, for example, it takes exactly Hawking's form. And so it is like emission probability. And this term takes the similar form with omega switch to minus omega, and it is like absorption probability. So in this case, we can well understand Hawking radiation as some kind of decay of this boundary state into propagating state. And well, this emission coefficient tells you on probability for such a decay. Also, interestingly, there is a relation between absorption and emission probability and reflection amplitude. So this all was in semi-classical approximation. But if you look at correlation functions in Liouville, so let's look at one-point function. It takes this form, and coefficient in front, which depends only on frequency, well, on omega and boundary coupling. Also, it takes this similar form as we had it in semi-classical approximation, but there are alpha prime corrections. And again, if you compute absolute value of this coefficient, we get Hawking's formula plus some alpha prime corrections. So if, and here TH star is kind of dual temperature to Hawking temperature. So it's inverse to Hawking temperature and inverse to alpha prime. So if alpha prime goes to zero, it's infinite, and this is just one. But otherwise, there are some corrections. Also, if you look at two-point correlation function, well, it produces, it takes this form. And coefficient here is known in Liouville theory as Liouville reflection amplitude. And it is exactly reflection amplitude if we, well, look at semi-classical approximation. But also here we get, well, the semi-classical answer plus some alpha prime corrections. And also relation between absorption and emission amplitudes and reflection amplitude is the same as we had it in two theory case. So concluding, I try to give you some argument why there is a conformal symmetry near horizon, which might be important. And I present two CFT pictures, which look different, but them might be actually just different projections of same big picture. Thank you. There is some kind of universality. So whatever interacting theory we have in the bulk with some complicated Green's function, uh-huh. If one of these points goes to horizon, right. We have some form, universal form for Green's function, and it reduces to some Green's function on anti-de Sitter.
The idea that that's
somehow simplifying?
I'm trying to get
well, it's kind of universality. It's not. It's universality.